Molly spoke about these four heart qualities and how they're relating to each other, how they're supports to each other, so interconnected. These four heart qualities of metta, karuna, mudita, upeka, and this is kindness, loving kindness sometimes called, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. So I just wanted to say a little more about how these are unfolding now, which is different than how they were unfolding and interacting yesterday, and different than how they've been present for us and interrelated or imbalanced in daily life for most of us. So just take a moment maybe to see, hey, I've done good. Things have shifted a lot. Like, can you feel that? Sometimes we don't notice because we're so in it and we're like, doing the practices and trying to be kind, but you know, we're just really in our practice and we might not realize, a lot of kindness is showing up here with ourselves. So just take a moment and feel into that. See, do I feel, how does it feel to be here now? And maybe there's some sort of a recollection of how it was on arriving, just to acknowledge things have shifted. And also to acknowledge it may have shifted into annoyance. but it has, something is moving, something's changing. It can shift into different ways. So this first quality that we've really been cultivating and paying lots of attention to of metta, and maybe we can't relate to this loving kindness word because we may be a little burned out from being loving and even being kind. We go through the emotions and we can, people might say, oh, you're so kind, but we may feel a little disconnect with that kindness. And especially towards ourselves. Especially. And as has been said and practiced, that it's this kindness needs to begin with this being. Another way to phrase metta is as gentle friendliness. Gentle friendliness. A friend is, another word for friend is acquaintance. Are we acquainted? Acquainted. Do we know? Have we been paying attention? Companion is another name for friend. Companion. Have I been accompanying myself? My gosh, companion, accompanying. So many people we've been accompanying and looking after, and we're reteaching, remembering this heart, mind, body. I liked another term for friend. It is bosom buddy. Yeah, bosom buddy, because you know there's an instinct sometimes to, like, you know, when I mentioned that kind of kind touch or comforting touch that we can offer to ourselves, for this body anyways, my right hand comes right to my heart. And that's not to say that's any sort of right way, but there's just this, like, hey, bosom buddy. One of the images I find really resonant and helpful for me in relation to this balancing factor, balancing quality of loving kindness in relation to compassion. So this being a care for caregivers retreat, we're all here because we're self-identifying as caregivers in some ways and in many ways and in all ways sometimes. We're very compassionate beings. We care and we give and we do and take care of lots of beings. And the analogy, the simile, whatever it is that metta, kindness to this being, is like standing on solid ground in order to help someone out of quicksand. You see how we have to be on solid ground to help. Otherwise, we're going down. So, this is, if I could give you like a certificate with a big red seal on it and a stamp, this is your permission to take care of yourself, to really do this practice that we've been doing, and we'll talk more later about in our daily lives, how can we bring these qualities to our being in order to, because most of us are going home and still caregiving. As many of you have spoken about, the teachers that have shown up this weekend, many of us have experienced the teachings from nature, the support, and you know, chipmunks and groundhogs and birds and bees and on and on and on, the trees, the wind, the grass on the sole of the foot. So much support and teaching that shows up by being here, being present, slowing down, paying attention to these nature teachers. So one of the teachers that have been resonating for me are the peonies. And so for those that don't know, because I am not a gardener person, but peonies, there's bunches of them out in this garden out there outside the lounge and where the pond is. Whenever I describe this stuff, I think people listening on the thing must think, wow, this place is posh. The lounge and the pond and the fireplace. Yeah, it is. So sweet. So that garden out there, there's peonies, and there's some pink ones and some white ones, and they have, like, it seems like an infinite an array of petals when they're open. It's this big blossom, really heavy. Some of them are held up with posts because they're just like, yeah, peonies. So many layers and layers and layers of petals. And on a same bush, a bush of peonies, there's many that are still a tight little ball. If you feel those, they're really tight, really hard, firm, packed, packed, packed. And peonies and ants have a relationship together. So you'll notice on those plants that there's many ants running around the tight little balls and also around the petals, lots of ants. And so it turns out that ants just exploring around, being in a garden. There's one lucky ant that finds a peony and is like, yes, jackpot. And it has left a pheromone trail, and all the other ants are follow. So soon there's lots of ants. The ants are drawn to the nectar, the sweetness that is holding it together in this tightness that's covered in nectar that they feed on. And so if we let those ants represent our attention, our interest, our in this investigative quality that this curiosity that Molly spoke about, we could notice what is being attended to. Where is our attention gathering? Where are we placing our attention? And so I'm sure in many of the sittings or walking or sleeping or all of these continuity of practice, we may notice sometimes, the attention is really in past. This happened, wish it had gone this way, you know, past. Or we might notice the attention is really running around, milling about on future. It's going to keep being this way, or soon this is coming, this is going to happen, how am I going to be with that? Well, let's try this scenario out. Yes, and then we go off and off and off, past and future. Or another way to say that might be regrets and expectations. So there's times where we're noticing in this presence with ourselves that the attention is being drawn to those areas, past and future, regrets, expectations. But also we've been practicing, you know, and we could maybe feel that this being is that tight little bud. Maybe that's how we showed up on Thursday night. Or maybe there was just some areas of tightness, you know? In the jaw, in the shoulders, in the forehead, in the heart, in the belly. Or maybe the whole experience of this form arrived or can still be in many ways right now, this tight, tight bud. And we've been just pouring our attention over it with the sweetness, the nectar here, moving our attention around it, like, oh, it's like this right now. with a spaciousness, a kindness, a gentleness, a sweetness. Ah, it's like this. What's going on here and now? How is it? And with this kind attention, sweetness, opening happens in its own time, slowly. There's room to breathe here. There's space to feel. There's gentle touch to soothe. And the body knows. The body knows when it's safe. When, there's loving attention here. And then we might get tight again. There's loving attention here with the tightness. Opening, opening, opening. So with this kind attention, maybe we're beginning to loosen our expectations about how we should be. We may be starting to notice the negative self-talk or the harshness from others in our lives that has become internalized. There can be the feeling that there's something wrong with me. I shouldn't feel this way as a caregiver. Or all these different roles where we are with in our lives. So as this settling and slowing down, opening up, kindness has been invited, cultivated by you with wisdom and skillfulness, then sometimes some of the harder things can start to be known. That, we could start to open up and then feel like numb. Or we could start to soften and then feel angry. Or we could start to be gentle with ourselves and then feel grief. Boy, this takes courage. Courage. So there may be a lot of expectations about ourselves, how we should be in relationship to how our lives are. And there may be expectations about how this life should be. Not like this. That things shouldn't be unfolding the way they're unfolding. Or an expectation about how those we love and care for should be. Please know that just this awareness with kindness is healing. Awareness and kindness that you are giving to your being is transformative. This is creating the ground underneath us so we can continue being how we need to be in the world, how our life is. This is how this life is. This is how these folks are that I'm in care with, caregiving with. So we need this firm ground underneath us. And It needs to come from this place. So, as we've been talking about in small groups, we've been sharing how caregiving for our own being has shown up in these few days, and how this form of the retreat, the form, all that's gone into this container, this form where we're resting into, being held by, has given us permission to slow down and pay attention. And we feel this gratitude that we gave ourselves this gift, that the conditions enabled us to be here, and that the form of the retreat and the teachers are giving us all permission to slow down and pay attention to nature, to the food, to the quiet, to the Dharma, the teachings, paying attention to the community in the silence. And many have spoken about the gratitude and the support of just knowing same, and the kindness of being together in this. And I wonder if we could notice what it would feel like if we gave that permission to ourselves. Just float that question right now. What would it feel like if I gave that permission to myself? What does it feel like to give permission to myself that it's okay for me to slow down? It's okay for me to pay attention in a different way. It's okay for me to smell a strawberry before I bite it, to watch an ant, to be in silence with others. Sharon Salzberg says, to reteach a thing its loveliness is the nature of metta. Through loving kindness, everyone and everything can flower again from within. Aren't we doing this, reteaching ourselves our loveliness? Hi. Lovely, hello, lovely. You're so lovely. So we can flower again from within. Another aspect, so metta, one of these four, this first four of the four qualities, and another one that's been spoken about a little bit, is joy, mudita. Sometimes called sympathetic joy, and this does not mean sympathy. It means sympathetic as in a symphony, harmonic joy, resonant joy, or appreciative joy is a, I think, a helpful way to see this, appreciative joy. And sometimes, as I was saying, with this slowing down and pay attention, we might notice an absence of joy, or a kind of feeling of, I don't really remember joy. What is that? There might be that kind of feeling like, not sure. When have I felt that? What is that? Yeah. And so, there's another place that joy shows up in the teachings. And it's through this quality of mindfulness that we've been practicing, paying attention, remembering, resting with how it is right now, with this curiosity, this kind attention, how things are, like this. And attention moves away, and how is that? How are things? So these qualities of paying attention to how it is right now, we may have be finding now that there's a little more energy has arisen. Partially because we've gotten some rest, I hope you've had some rest. And partly because we're interested, we're paying attention. So there's a little more ability to stay with it, to keep inquiring, to keep noticing, what's going on? How is it? How is it? And with this comes another aspect of joy that's called piti. Doesn't it sound joyful? Piti. Piti. And so this is an aspect of joy I'm talking about now. And but part of us, a little voice here might wonder, is joy possible for me? Do I deserve joy? Is it okay for me to feel joy when there's so much suffering around? Is it okay? So when joy arises, can it just be known in an embodied way and appreciated when it does show up? Or do we quickly brush it aside or kind of just ignore it because we might think it's not going to last anyways? Sometimes we can feel envy or resentment or jealousy when we see joy in others. That's nice for you. Is that possible for me? And so this practice is actually an antidote to that envy, to that feeling like this is impossible for me. Opening to joy when we see it. As Molly was guiding us this morning, this continuity of awareness, that kind of spacious attention with how things are in this body, in this present moment, and seeing the arising and passing nature of whatever is moving through the field, the sounds, thoughts, sensations. And so with joy, there's a way to be with joy where we can know its impermanence, and can bring a little more rejoicing that, it's like this right now. Instead of seeing its impermanence as like, it's not gonna last. That's not for me. That's not how my life is. When I'm talking about joy, I'm not talking about winning the lottery. That might be good too, I don't know. But I'm talking about ants on peonies and date squares for lunch, or breeze on skin. Awareness of those sharing practice around me with such kindness and attention. This is what I mean by joy. This is not what I mean. This is what the Dharma means by this joy. Subtle and sweet. It's not exuberance. So an invitation to see what is available here. What, and then notice, can I just let that be in, let this come in a little bit. Ah, this is sweet. Ah, this is sweet. And this is not pretending we're happy. It's just noticing simple moments of sweetness when they arise. And with some allowing. One Morning by Rosemary Wotola Tromer. One morning, we will wake up and forget to build the wall we've been building. The one between us and the one we've been building for years. Perhaps out of some sense of right and boundary. Perhaps out of habit. One morning we will wake up and let our empty hands hang empty at our sides. Perhaps they will rise, as empty things do sometimes, when blown by the wind. Perhaps they simply will not remember how to grasp, how to rage. We will wake up that morning and we will have misplaced all our theories about why and how and who did what to whom. We will have mislaid all our timelines of when and plans of what. And we will not scramble to write the plans and theories anew. On that morning, not much else will have changed. Whatever is blooming will still be in bloom. Whatever is wilting will wilt. There will be fields to plow and trains to load and children to feed and work to do. And in every moment, in every action, we will feel the urge to say thank you. We will feel the urge to bow. Let's sit quietly together for a moment.